If we say we are risen in Christ, we must be a calling card that people are drawn to us. And when they are drawn to us, they are drawn to Jesus. Because it's not about us, it's about Jesus.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of his message that aired last week, Dr. Raphael Thomas began to list three very personal qualities from God's Word that must be developed in the habits of one's life if that individual is to do ministry God's way. Our brother's main text is taken from Paul's first letter to Timothy, where is detailed the divine prescription for doing church God's way. So we invite you to turn with us again to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and listen as Dr. Thomas picks up his message and takes it to its conclusion. Here again is Dr. Thomas with Doing Ministry God's Way.
Martin Luther said, "I have so much to do today that I'm going to need to spend 3 hours in prayer in order to be able to get it all done." And it seems like the more time you spend in prayer, the more you get done. But sometimes the devil deceives us. You have so much to do, you cannot afford more than 5 minutes today for your devotions. Does that sound familiar? If we're going to be good ministers, if we are going to harness the opportunities, if we're going to be sensitive to the leading of God's Spirit, we have to give ourselves to the spiritual exercises. We have to train ourselves in the spiritual disciplines. We have to give ourselves to preparing for the work that the Lord has called us to. But it is not only the spiritual exercise that is important. He says to Timothy, "I also want you to bear in mind the spiritual example." In verse 12, the Bible says, "Let no one deceive your youth." The first one was, "Let no one deceive you." "Let no one despise you. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Not only do we need to give ourselves to spiritual exercises, but to the spiritual examples. What does the word example suggest to you? The word example tells us that the person or thing is like a model that others can imitate. Paul was saying to Timothy, you must so live your life that others can look at you and pattern you. We are called to be spiritual examples. And he lists 6 areas that he encouraged Timothy to be an example. Number 1, be an example in word. Growing up, I used to hear little children say, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words cannot harm me." But you know, words are very powerful. And words can do significant damage. And as well, words can bring about healing. So Paul said to Timothy, "Timothy, be an example in what you speak, how you speak. Give attention to words. Be an example in how you communicate with others." Many people can be turned off a life just by one word you say to them. So give attention to word. But also give attention to your conduct, how you behave yourself, your spiritual walk. You must be a model. You must be someone that your behavior can attract them to Christ when they look at you, even if you don't say anything. When they look at your behavior, they must note something about you that will bring them to Christ. You know, I remember the Bible telling us that after Lazarus was risen from the dead, people came to see Lazarus, and many of them came to Jesus. If we say we are risen in Christ, we must be a calling card that people are drawn to us. And when they are drawn to us, they are drawn to Jesus. Because it's not about us, it's about Jesus. How is your conduct? Is it a good example in your workplace, on the street? I'm not talking about just when you are in church among fellow believers. You know, some young people have a way of changing their lifestyles when they go off to college. How are you when you are in a situation that people don't know you? And your parents are not around and your pastor is not around. Be an example, nevertheless. He calls us to be an example in word, in conduct, but in love. How is your love for people? How is your love for God manifested and impacting others? The writer says, how can you say that you love God when you see your fellow men in need and you shut up your bowels of compassion? How is the love of God flowing through you? Be an example, he says, Timothy, in love. People are longing to see real, genuine love. They are not so much impressed with our theology and our ideology and our philosophy. They want to see real love because people are crying out for true love. Stories told of this man who saw his friend at the airport, and when he dropped his bag and ran and gave him a hug, somebody looked on and said, "Are you brothers?" He said, "We are brothers in the Lord." And he said, "This is the kind of love that I long for." Are they seeing the love of Christ? The songwriter asked the question, is the love of God flowing through you? Be an example in word, in conduct, in love, but also in spirit, your attitude. Could be your spirit there, or could be the Holy Spirit at work. But the spiritual dimension to your life must be an example to others. How about your faith? Be an example of faith, of trusting in God. When you don't know how things are going to turn out, you still trust God. You still hold on to the word of God, not doubting. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, but let him pray in faith, believing. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. And he says, be an example in purity. Purity. Sometimes we sing the song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Is that the passion of your heart? Lord, I want to be holy. I want to live above sin and above failure. I want to be holy, to be righteous. I want to toe the line. And so I don't want to use the world as my standard. I want to use Jesus as my standard. Because standards are falling all around us. But God's standard remains high and absolute and consistent. Help me, Lord, to be an example in purity. And in these days when the world is saying there are no absolutes, everything is relative, we have to be prepared to let the world know that it is absolutely wrong. Timothy, be thou an example. Give attention to your spiritual exercises. Do those things that will undergird your spiritual life. Pursue those things, though they, you know, when you are doing physical exercise, sometimes the muscles ache. Especially if you have not exercised for a while. I know something about that. But you cannot stop when the muscles ache. The way to get over it is to continue. And so it is with the spiritual exercise. It may cost us some things. It may be even painful at times. It may cause us some adjustments. But we are to give ourselves to spiritual exercise and spiritual example. But he also calls us to give ourselves to the spiritual endowment. If we are going to do ministry God's way, we must recognize that we have a spiritual endowment. God has deposited himself in us. God has placed a call upon our lives. God has given us gifts and talents and abilities. God has charted out a plan for us to fulfill that call on our lives. And if we look at verse 14, we hear Timothy getting an admonition. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Paul was reminding Timothy that at the time of your commission, when hands were laid on you, there came a prophecy over your life, telling you that there are some specific things that God has called you to. He says, Timothy, do not neglect it. That endowment, that spiritual endowment, that supernatural capacity that God has given to you, do not neglect it, because that will enable you to do things that exceed any human skill and any human ability. There is a deposit inside of you that will allow you to do something that only God can do. As you step out in faith and do ministry God's way, you are going to surprise yourself. You are going to go beyond the borders and the boundaries of human capacity. You're going to see the glory of God manifested in your life, because this is all about Jesus, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to work a work in the midst of my people, but I want some persons to understand that which will allow you to do that kind of work is already deposited in you. God is with us, the hope of glory. His name is called Emmanuel. No wonder Jesus said to his disciples, go to Jerusalem them and wait. Wait for the endowment. Wait for the endowment, because you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to go to the ends of the earth. You are going to proclaim release to the captives. You are going to set captives free. You are going to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You are going to cause people to understand that Jesus Christ has spoiled principalities and powers, and he has made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. People are going to experience the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of our degrees or our pedigrees, but because of Jesus. Because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. For it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. The yoke of sin, of darkness, of oppression. The captivity of the enemy can only be broken by the power of Jesus Christ. Give yourselves, Timothy, to spiritual exercises. Exert yourself, apply yourself, push forward in the discipline to develop your spiritual power and your spiritual life and your spiritual efficiency, your spiritual depth, for there are higher heights and deeper depths in Jesus Christ. Dig deeper to go further. Give yourself to the spiritual example. Don't compromise. Keep the bar high and be an example that anyone, anywhere can follow. Give yourself to the spiritual endowment, because I have put something inside of you. Not just something, I have put someone inside of you to help you do it. Do not neglect your spiritual endowment. On January 13, 2021, CNN gave this report. Former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder and former Flint Public Works Director Howard Croft were each charged Wednesday with two counts of willful neglect of duty as part of an investigation into the Flint water crisis, according to court documents. The charges are misdemeanors punishable with up to 1 year in prison or a fine of up to $1,000, the state's penal code shows. The report goes on to say, 12 people died, and more than 80 were sickened as a result of two waves of the Legionnaires' disease outbreak in Flint during the water crisis. All because of a neglect of duty. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Because, listen to verse 16. Verse 16 is the last verse in the chapter. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Why? For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Paul said to Timothy, God is the Savior of the world. But he said, Timothy, I want you to engage with God, because you can be a part of God's program to save. By doing these things, you will save yourself and those who hear you. The story is told of the two lumberjacks who had a competition. One was a younger man and one was an older man. And the young man said, but this is not fair. How can you put such an old man against me to compete with me? You should have some mercy. Anyway, they agreed to the contest. Both of them started cutting on either side of the road. Trees were falling on both sides. But over on the older man's side, there was a silence every now and then. And the younger man reasoned, see, he can't even continue cutting. After a few minutes, it was discovered that the old man won the contest. And the young man said, no, that can't be right. Oh, and he didn't keep, he had to stop sometimes in the process. The old man said, when you hear me stop, I was sharpening the saw. My brothers and sisters, it is not just about our effort and our determination. It is to make sure that we have the cutting edge. The cutting edge is not by might, nor by power, but by my power, my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. There is much work to be done. 30 million people have joined a group called the Religious Nones, N-O-N-E-S, over the past 10 years in America. There is much work to be done. But God is still at work mightily all across the world. Millions of people are coming to the Lord. The 2000 edition of World Christian Encyclopedia tells us that annually 950,000 people become Muslims, but 2.7 million people become Christians every year. For every Muslim that come to the Lord, 3 come to Jesus Christ. An estimated 82,000 new believers are added to the body of Christ every day. Radio is now reaching 97% of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is working mightily even in the Muslim territories. Today, Iran has the fastest growing church in the world. So in a context in which there are deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, don't be confused. God is still at work, for he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He only wants some people who are saying, I am available to you. I will work with God because it is not over yet. We still have a limited time. Is there somebody who will say, here am I? Send me.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.